On the website, the National Center for Victims of Crime, here's what it says. Child sexual abuse statistics. Quote, the prevalence of child sexual abuse is difficult to determine because it is not often reported. Experts agree that the incident is far greater than what is reported to authorities. The CSA is also not uniformly defined, so stats may vary. Listen to this. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Children's Bureau report, when it comes to child maltreatment, found this, that 9.2% of victimized children were sexually assaulted. Now, this is one in five girls and one in 20 boys. I listened on the radio today to a new report from another group working with the abused. One in four girls, one in six boys. The self-report study showed that 20% of adult females, 5 to 10% of adult males recall childhood sexual assault and the abuse. Now, when you think in terms of childhood abuse, some are going to turn this radio off. Some are going to listen in solitude. For some, it's striking down on the scar, the emotional scar, the scar over the heart, mind, and emotion. Underneath the scar, toxic memories. This is Russ Dizdar, the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast on this Thursday night. It's May the 7th, and we're talking tonight when demons slide on over when it comes to relationships, spiritual warfare in that, trauma, transference, healing of these issues, deep healing of these issues, and the need for it today. Glad to be with you today. We're glad that, listen, let me tell you, some of you that are not getting responses from me email-wise, we're not able to get to everything right now, especially. I'll try to make this one of the last times, but 8 months we've been in this massive, massive upheaval, and we are incapacitated in a number of ways. We're kind of living out of boxes. We're packed up. We got stuff in storage. Trucks are coming. All this stuff is going to happen in the next 10, 12, 14 days, and then we will be settled. And I am really looking forward to it. Very grateful to God to grant me the idea of time uninterrupted, and we will give you more response, and we hope to give you more of everything we can. Why? Because of the love of God, because of the call of God in these days that I believe are the end of days, the urgency of this time that we live in. All of us know this, but in the midst of all of this, there is incredible, well, salvation, grace, healing, mercy, God able to work into your life, change things. When it comes to trauma, when it comes to, well, some folks don't know what happens, what happened to them when they were 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, buried deep down inside, are the things they couldn't handle when they were young and think that they don't need to handle when they're old. The truth is they're afraid. They don't know where to go. They don't realize that they can take the blood and the guts and the pain once and for all and bring it before the throne of grace, a mercy seat, a place of healing and restoration and washing away and renewal. I want you to know that today as we pray that God's extraordinary grace in the name of Jesus Christ will be just released to you for healing, the inner healing, the deliverance, the restoration of life. See, I know that. I know that God gives. I've been on the field too long to see not only the radical evil that grows and is extremely alarming to me because so much is not said, so much is not known, and the harm is there. The bridge is out around the corner, and so many are flying around the corner. They don't know what's coming. So we need to do that. But in the context of that, I'm not going to back off from the grace of God and from the direct healing and the direct deliverance and the direct salvation. You can know God. Hey, wherever you are in all the world, this is the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. The website behind all of it, shatterthedarkness.net. And let me tell you something. I do. I believe the broadcast is supernatural in the sense that the hand of God, God's very presence is here to save and to heal and deliver and to strengthen and to work in your behalf. Thousands of you can be praying for us during this hour. And when it goes to the archives, well, thousands and thousands of you download it. May God again bless you, heal you, deliver you, strengthen you. I believe God is extraordinary in doing that. And we can seek him and we can wait on him. Before we get into the meat of that, I'm reading an article put out by police1.com. A friend, a law enforcement friend, sent this to me. Strong Christian guy sent this to me. It says this, aide for California AG accused of running rogue police force. Accused of operating a force that claimed to exist for more than 3,000 years, listen, and have jurisdiction in 33 states and including Mexico. This is by Matt Hamilton, Los Angeles Times. Quote, Los Angeles, an aide to State Attorney General Camila D. Harris and two others are accused of operating a rogue police force that claimed to exist for more than 3,000 years and have jurisdiction over 33 states in Mexico. Now, those included are Mr. Henry, Mr. Hayes, are arrested last week on suspicion of impersonating a police officer through their roles in the Masonic Fraternity Police Department. Did you hear that? In the Masonic Fraternal Police Department, according to the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Now, Cal, one of these individuals, 31 years old, has worked as a deputy director of community affairs at the California Department of Justice. An office spokesman declined to comment on the criminal investigation. Now, this is one of the guys claiming to be an officer from the Masonic Fraternal Police Department. Quote, suspicions about the Masonic Fraternal Police Department, whose members trace their origins to the Knights Templar. You got to see what the Knights Templars, the concept of that among some of the Mexican drug lords, they're even wearing the gear in the context of drug lords and drug promotion and the practice of slaughtering lives. Do you know much about that? These guys claiming to be police officers, Masonic Fraternal Police Officer Department, their origins, they're claiming the Knights Templar. The problem is a letter went out and some of the other law enforcement got a hold of it and began to take a look into this. Here's what it goes on to say. Quote, website identifying itself as the police force's official site describes what makes the group unique. When asked what is the difference between the Masonic Fraternal Police Department and other police departments, the answer is simple for us. We were here first, they say. The website adds, quote, we are born into this organization. Our bloodlines go deeper than an application. This is more than a job. It is an obligation. End of quote. Now, this is coming from what would be considered an occultic-oriented, is it Masonic, Knights Templar, police organization, claiming to be the oldest. Organized, they were born into the organization by their bloodlines. Following an investigation, official says, sheriff's investigators searched two sites in Santa Clarita and found badges, weapons, uniforms, and law enforcement paraphernalia. Well, they're in big trouble now anyway, from the real police. I'm looking at a website right here, a video actually on YouTube called The Suffering. A friend posted this on my Facebook site in reference to yesterday's mention of gaming and charged gaming, you know, real demonized, real coven, real sorcerer, real satanic elements in some of the gaming. And so I watched the what's called The Suffering, and I appreciate him putting it up there. It's still up there on the website when you go to my Facebook. It's Facebook.com/RussDizdar. Now, when you go there under Jimmy Smith, he's listed his name. His name's there. But here's what it says, and I watched a video. packed with blood and guts and chaos and fighting and rioting. Here I'm quoting, a game about demons on the streets of Baltimore, Maryland, during the first night of the apocalypse proper, or as they call it, the cataclysm. I've never seen this before, but it reminds me of the Black Awakening, the concept of the Black Awakening. And this has been put out way back a number of years. And so I'm taking a look at what's called The Suffering, subtitled Ties That Bind. There's a trailer. Demons, blood, guts, riots, chaos unleashed in Baltimore, Maryland. Gaming. Well, I think it's packed demonically. Tonight we're talking about the demonic side. And I mentioned yesterday that in that overview, in that major overview that we did on Wednesday night, tonight on the 7th, we're going to break it down a little bit. We're going to deal with the trauma, the transference issues, but also the realization of the deep healing that God can bring. And I want you to hear that right now. And I want believers to know that we should be seeking God for his hand in the deep, deep healing of individuals. Have you heard this? I'll tell you where it's from in just a moment. Quote, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's not even half of one psalm, Psalm 103. So if you get a chance today, look back at Psalm 103. That's about 3,000 years old as far as Scripture, but it speaks living words of God's current work in lives. Can I read part? And no wonder the writer is saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Wow, thank God for that. In Christ, who heals all your diseases. Take a look at Jesus in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, or the whole Gospel of Mark. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That is the God that I'm talking about, that loves you, that's with you if you're a believer now. If you're not, come to Christ. He's waiting, summoning, calling you to come now. There are those who have gotten saved at the moment of salvation, gotten delivered. At the moment of salvation, received healing. And there's more that comes from the Savior to work in your life. Now, I mentioned yesterday oppression, attachment, possession, many other things. You can listen to the May 6th broadcast. It's up on the archives right now. But I'm going to break down two areas that are barely talked about also in the context. And when I do that, I'm mentioning again to you when it comes down to, well, you know, you got to sit back and think, you know, for a moment anyway. And I've listened, I've sat down probably for about 37, 38 years, and I've listened now to hundreds of stories of the rape and the violence and of the ritual sexual rape and of I've looked at 30 and 40 and 50-year-old women, primarily some men sitting before me. Some for the first time ever bringing up the toxic memory and telling about when they were 5, when they were 6, when they were 7, and what occurred to them. And from the ages of 6 to 9, or from the ages of 5 to 12, the constant sexual abuse, the rapes. I watched the as there is a kind of ab reaction, kind of the incredible pain, the tears, the fear, the anger, the shame, all of these emotions that are there. I mean, just if you think in terms of emotion, it's just bloody, just bloody emotions that for some simply held down for years. Some of you are holding it right now. And I am praying that even during this broadcast, even as you listen to this as a podcast, God in extraordinary ways will bring healing, the peace of God to be over you. And may we pray that the demonic and all that it's done to feed on it, to cause it to bring more pain into it, be destroyed in the name of Jesus. May he heal you. May he do what is spoken in Psalm 103. He knows how to forgive sin. See, you know, there's a lot of individuals that have been raped, sexually harmed, that then felt so violated, felt so used, felt so broken, felt what's the use? And so they gave into a lifestyle. A lifestyle. Some became perpetrators themselves. Listening right now at this broadcast live, and some in the podcast later, are those who were once highly abused, never healed, never washed, never cleansed, never renewed, never felt the purity that comes from God given to you in Christ. You became the perpetrators. And that is a big secret, and that is a big guilt, and that is a compulsion in some. Not just because it was done and it's carried over. Listen, without any breaking in the chain, you got to realize that pedophiles who may hurt dozens, if not 100 or 200 children, in one pedophile's life alone, the compulsion on the one hand, and maybe not knowing that the demonization inside is what is driving them. Well, there's so much to it all. There really is. But if it's true, as I listen today, as I thought about this, I'm listening today on the radios, I'm out and about, and four girls in once, one in every four girls and one in every four boys have had some kind of sexual abuse. Now, again, I don't want anybody to have to go, because I really believe that when the healing, the deliverance, the restoration that God gives in Christ brings a release. So you don't have to hold down the toxic memories. You don't have to hold the pain in place. And you don't have to hide anything. Once healing and release and freedom, you don't have to talk about it ever again. You can talk about what Jesus has done in your life. You can talk about the healing that God has brought into your life. That's up to you and before you and the Lord. But so many don't even want to mention, especially guys who've been abused. Sexually, that is. Many homosexual men today are nothing more than the boys at 4, 5, 6, and 7, like in the Sandusky case in Pennsylvania, that have been just taken over by older men. And then they, all of a sudden, because of what sex is and the arousal, maybe transference of issues, and then they got led into it, then it becomes an addiction, a compulsion, and they become perpetrators themselves sometimes. When it comes to rape, when you think of a 4, 5, 6, maybe even a 3, it's hard to even go down and realize, you know, that a 1-year-old in can be raped. We all sit back and think in terms of how sick, sadistic, and, you know, if you catch somebody doing it, you want to take a baseball bat. I understand that. But the reality of what occurs is massive impact into a life, because a 3, a 4, a 5, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old even, when engaged by some perpetrator that's stronger, that's telling them to be silent, to shut up, not to tell anybody, not to speak, that it's a secret, that they will get harmed or that they will hurt their parents or come to their family and hurt. I mean, there's threat involved and there's secrecy involved and there's shame involved, let alone all of the physical issues. Without question, pain and blood and just for a young child, it's bizarre and it's crazy. It shouldn't be experienced. 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-olds don't even really know about sex. So if they're going to act out sexually, where did they learn to do that? How did they learn to do that? Think of germs again. I want you to just hear me out tonight. When it comes to you know, moms and others, maybe who had been forced into sexual relationships and got pregnant and had their baby, and they love their babies and they love their little daughter, their little son. But the trauma may have included a transference demonically. There may be that in the generation issue. There may be that in the addiction of sexual perversion, you know, along the way too. So when you think in terms of the trauma involved in childhood rape and abuse, some of the main factors, and this is true when it comes to the millions involved in satanic ritual abuse, it goes even deeper, where the plotted and planned sexual rituals and the transference of demons are in the ritual. Now, that's hard for some to understand and very hard to really grasp, but the victims of SRA from childhood up not only have the constant sexual rape and abuse and a twisting of their understanding of it all, but also transference demonically. SRAs inside, many of them still have, that are not healed, that are not released, that are not delivered, that are not, they have inside perpetrators. Some of the satanic crimes, some of the, look at Ted Bundy, look at John Wayne Gacy, look at Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, you think in terms of some of the serial rapists, murderers, and they were multiples, which points to the fact that somebody through trauma, usually sexual trauma, you know, took them into the whole experience in such a very young age. So strong was the trauma that it split them and inside of them subpersonalities that become the sexual perpetrators. That's right, some crimes, subpersonalities. Now, again, law enforcement is going to just simply, you know, if it's their fingerprints, if it's their, you know, bodily fluids, if it's their DNA, they're going to go to jail. But it is true. Subpersonalities that have never been touched, never been healed, never been delivered can do some of the most heinous crimes. I say to pastors and everyone listening, and I know SRAs listen, but no unhealed SRA should ever be involved in the nurseries and the children ministries. You shouldn't take the risk. I just need to say that today. 1 in 4 girls, 1 in 6 boys. Do you know how many millions? What it tells me, too, is as little boys and little girls get older and older and older and unhealed and undealt with, it can turn into a lot of things. Sexual promiscuity, the sexual addictions, abuse themselves, many failed relationships, fears, girls moving to other girls because it's safer, boys just encountering other men because it was men that inducted them into this whole world. The other side of this is the pain and the fear and the terror, and when it's done over and over and over and over again, the hopelessness. You see, when there's rape like this going on in any child's life, any young person's life, it thrusts them into passivity. Shut up, be quiet, be silent, never tell, and all those things come with it. Now, I believe there's two things that can occur. Well, three altogether. One, all of this radical evil can be done and bring damage to a young person who doesn't know how to assess it, doesn't know how to process it, doesn't know where to set it. It's like bad luggage. It's like burning luggage. You don't know where to put it. It's like luggage that's been, you know, just so corrupted and so tainted. Where do you put the bad luggage? Well, for little ones, the only thing to do is to bury it, especially if they're told, don't speak, don't tell, keep the secret, or I'll hurt you, and all the threat that comes with that. And so it's buried deep for a long time for many. That's one scenario. So that down the road, when they're growing and when they see other brothers and sisters, they may act out. When they see other boys and girls, they may act out. When they get to school, in gymnasiums, and when they go to places where they're in showers, they may begin to have feelings. They don't know where it's coming from. But it came from the transference. It came from the trauma. It came from the action. Second scenario is the kind of passive transference. And this would be when a child is raped, a child is a person, and again, it could be a 14-year-old, it could be a 17-year-old, it could be a 27-year-old. You have somebody that is raped, and there's pain, there's terror, there's fear. Everyone in the world of satanic ritual abuse, anybody in the world of knowing what satanic rituals are all about, realize that pain, fear, and terror help open the door for demonic entrance, attachment, and holding on to an area. Passivity, which, again, when someone's raped over and over and over and over again, it thrusts them into passivity. Powerlessness and passivity. Passivity is a big issue. If you ever read the book by Jesse Penn Lewis called War on the Saints, good book, classic book on spiritual warfare. In the book, it's emphasized the issue of massive passivity becomes a doorway for the enemy when there's no resistance. Think in terms of the Spirit of God saying to the believer, you know, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's an idea. That's part of the reality. But when you're broken by someone older and stronger and scary, and they seem to be, you know, whatever it is they're doing, sometimes it's just, in a sense, psychologically, they're talking you into it. Girls get talked into it by older women, and they're told that they're loved, and it seems like it's a loving thing, and it's the older woman, find they realize that they're just, the older woman's just using you for sex. And this is introducing them into a world of lesbianism, and vice versa with guys. But in where trauma, someone is taken by force, and there is fear, and there is terror, and there's pain. Now, I'm going to tell you, those three elements right there have been described to me by ritual workers and SRAs who've gone through and have seen and observed and participated and been made to participate in rituals. Well, they say, well, raising the energies of pain, raising the energies of fear, raising the energy of terror, and then also the sexual energies that are raised during the sexual act becomes the open door for the demonic to attach to slide into. Especially if, thinking again, the scenario. A person that is already demonized in some way, and there is a demonic compulsion to rape. A demonic compulsion to sexual perversion, addiction to that area. There's no question in my mind when it comes to necrophilia that there is a demonic inspiration for the arousal and desire for a dead corpse. I simply believe that. But I also believe that in the cases of pedophilia and no question in ritual abuse, there are those individuals that were demonized, whatever the cause in their life, whatever the open doors, maybe it goes back to their own childhood and it's passed on, you know, generation by generation. Without question, we know that pedophilia is, you know, it drops from, you know, one individual doing it and doing it and doing it. And then when the children never get help, never get any healing, never get anything, there's many that, not all, but many that become abusers themselves. And some don't understand the compulsion, because the presence or the felt energy or the overwhelming evil desire inside, they don't know how to get rid of it. Well, it could be in the sin nature because it was done to you and done to you and done to you and brought into the context of arousal, and it brings a real dysfunction to the normal concept of good sexuality and arousal. Without question, it involves power and so forth over individuals, humiliating others and taking power over them. But it's not divorced from the sexual act and the sexual arousal and goal in the process. So you can have, without question, not every single time, but you can have individuals that are demonized, and there's a compulsion. And there are some that are just really trapped in that compulsion. There are others that are just loving it, living it sadistically. They're into it. They're willingly, you know, they do it. They look for it. So please understand, it's not just victims, you know, abusing victims. Sometimes victims are abused by perpetrators who are just, and that's how I look at Sandusky. That's how I look at some of the other cases. Some are into it for their self-pleasure. And the Bible predicts in the end of days, lovers of themselves, you know, lovers of all these pleasures and so forth. And so in the day in which we live, if one out of four girls and one out of six boys, it maybe it's worse in India, maybe it's worse in Thailand, maybe it's worse in a number of countries of the world where human trafficking is, what, 27 million worldwide? All of them have been sexually used and used and abused and used and used and abused. And then if nobody breaks in, nobody brings healing, they get involved in the process. They become the madams. They become the perpetrators. They become, you know, those who begin to do the same thing, like in the drug lords. There's a way out of all of this. For all the victims and all the perpetrators who were once victims, and for all the perpetrators who've just bought into it, and you need to get out of that darkness. And there's only one way. That's the redemption and the power of God in Christ. Now, I'm mentioning three levels of this kind of abuse. One, where it simply occurs to a child and they just simply put all the pain down and they're silenced and they've got toxic luggage down deep inside of them. They're carrying luggage, but it's toxic and it's ugly and it's packed with pain, fear, terror, shame, humiliation, etc. So just hold it down deep and keep it down there, and you don't have to really deal with it, but it seems to creep up. And I know that it may be creeping up as you're listening to this. And that's why I've asked before I got on, that's why I'm asking now, for God's grace and mercy. I want you to know there's a way of healing. And I'm going to tell you about that in the last 15 minutes of this broadcast. The second element was demonized individuals, whether they know it or not, when they sexually abuse, when they're the compulsion and addiction is overwhelming, and it's not just their sin nature, there's demonic presence. When they do what they do, and when they create and cause the pain, the fear, the terror, the sexualized, all those energies, it's very possible then for the some of the demonics that's in the perpetrator to transfer over to the traumatized individual. Now again, the traumatized individual, pure victim, and you've got to understand the nature of the demonic. They don't care if it's a 4-year-old little girl or a 5-year-old little boy that has terror and weeping and fear and pain and shame and wants to hold it all down in and has a real sense of passivity. That is a real open door for the demonic to come to bring an attachment, a stronghold, a hold. You got to understand the nature of the demons. They don't sit back and say, oh, I'm sorry for your pain. I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for your hurt. I won't bother you. No, they look for the pain. They look for the fear. They look for the terror. They look for this. And they want to grab a hold. And they want to keep a person in bondage. That's their nature. Like termites to eat wood, that's their nature. And so they're demonic to feed on fear and pain and terror and passivity and to bring harm into a life for years. And that's why I would pray that even as you're listening, an extraordinary deliverance, that Jesus would just thrust out any and all things demonic. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, you will just in extraordinary ways deliver individuals listening. I command in the name of Jesus all demonic presence that have taken hold of the trauma in people's lives. I command you be broken, and I command you to release them, to get out permanently, and I pray for Jesus to come deliver you and to pour into you healing. I do. Years ago, I had a friend, Nikki Cruz. You might know who that is. Worldwide evangelist, Nikki Cruz, out of the Mau Mau's of New York. David Wilkerson, you know, you can go back to all of that. Nikki Cruz, I've been with a number of times. And when he spoke in a church that I pastored years ago, Nikki would say, you know, the church has to become, he would say it this way, the church must become a Holy Spirit hospital. Holy Spirit hospital. What did he mean? The body of Christ is proclaiming a gospel of salvation where there is utter forgiveness and the love of God and the power of God that comes in to change us from the inside out. But it also involves healing and deliverance and restoration. And if any local church and if any believers are wanting to minister in all that Jesus is about, I mean, go back and look at, you know, Isaiah, and when we read yesterday in Luke's Gospel chapter 4, why Jesus came. And he came and he was bringing healing and he was releasing captives and he was releasing the prisoners and he was opening the eyes of the blind and so on. He came to bring salvation and healing and deliverance and a restoration and opening our eyes. That's what he is right now. And so whether you're in Russia or China or in the Arabs in the Middle East, wherever you are in the world, I don't care if you're a drug lord, a perpetrator, whoever you might be, God has come to take you and engage you, yes, convict you over your own sin, but also come to bring healing to you over your own victimization and bring rest to your soul. So you go back to Psalm 103. You think about the benefits of God. Listen to them again. Forgives all of your iniquities. Only God can do that. Heals all of your diseases. Only God can do that. Redeems your life from destruction. Only God can do that. Then he crowns you, your life, you, with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, this is all about God coming in to a life that has been hit and hurt and sinned and guilt and pain and the reality of the demons themselves in the wasteland, the desert dry wasteland of human pain. God comes to wash and to cleanse and to forgive and to heal and to bring you out of the dry destruction and then crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies and to satisfy your mouth with good things and so that your youth, you might not know to go get healing till you're 35, 45, 55, but God has the ability to renew your youth. He knows how in Job's life to make the second half of Job's life better than the first. God can do that. So I have no problem telling you today, no matter what goes on, no matter what technologies, no matter what positions, God is good. The Savior is Christ. He loves you. And he comes for you to save and to heal and to deliver. Now, let me mention again, when it comes to this trauma, sometimes young people that have been traumatized sexually in pain and terror and fear and so forth, that's inside, and there's a way to bring that to God, to bring the blood and the guts of all your pain, all of it, instead of holding all of it down. You come before God and bring all of it up. You read the Psalms. The psalm writer can bring the pain and the depression and the hurt and the blood and guts and those who harmed. He can bring everything up before God and make God the refuge and God bring in the healing and God bring in a cleansing and God bring in a renewal and God take the weight off your damaged emotions, your broken heart. Jesus can do this now. Father, do it in Jesus' name. Transference, we mentioned that some individuals, perpetrators who may be demonized, can transfer the demonic over. Now, a third level is when it comes to satanic ritual abuse. I mean, it's already plotted. It doesn't make any difference. If someone comes in that is verified as SRA, that is satanically ritually abused, the terminologies that I don't like, DID, I mean, if they're termed, you know, if you're multiple inside, it was purposely done. SRAs that are, you know, the multiples, that the chosen ones that we talk about, all of them, millions of them worldwide. The fact is that that has been designed by the perpetrators to take you when you're young. Yes, you were the victim. Yes, you were the victim. You might have been bred to be the victim, to be the chosen one. In their view, twisted view, they want to make something out of you for Satan. God has other plans for you. Listen carefully. God has other plans. You can read about the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, book of Genesis, when he finally says, hey, you know, you intended to harm me. Your plans were intended to harm me, but God had bigger plans. God was to use his life to bring a saving of tens of thousands and a witness for the God of heaven. In the book of Genesis, one man cheated, victimized, used, left, imprisoned, never did the wrong. They all had intent to harm him. God intended to bring him out of it and to see his life become a powerful element in the saving of lives. God has a purpose for you that is so much higher, so much bigger, so much broader than all of the abuse you've been through. You can ask him. When you're coming through all of it, you can ask him. Because many victims ask, where were you, God? In a fallen world that we gave over to the devil, we gave the rights. Where Satan has the rights and sinners are holding on to their rights. In this fallen world where those rights are given, that's why people sin. People demonized and Satanists that are committed to the dark side, knowing that the pain and the fear and the terror and the hopelessness and the shoving of you into passivity is a way they can split you, then program you and use you. They know this. They did that. Satan and the demons taught them that. They did. The blame is on them. The blame is on the side of the dark side in a world that we gave over to him. A world that God is breaking into to bring us out of the darkness into the light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. Question is whether you want out of that darkness. And the yearning in your heart is heard by God. And I know this in working on the field that we've worked on, that God has led us to risk our lives, to do every kind of expend every penny we had at times, to do all that we can do. And we're doing that to this day, to reach out to those being victimized. God is sending people. God is raising people up. So in this third case of those who are sexually and richly abused, by design, the pain, the fear, the terror, because they know that it brings the demons and the ritual to transfer from the individuals sexually abusing the person in the ritual, summoning and releasing into the person, the child, and into the subpersonalities and the programming and all the rest. So you've got that third element. And we, again, even in human trafficking, though there's many groups now, though they're not recognizing it publicly very well, all that I've been talking with are acknowledging that young, fourth generation, 12-year-olds, 14-year-old girls are coming in, and they're not just in human trafficking alone, which is bad enough. They're coming in with split personalities, demonized personalities. They are SRA. They are young, fourth generation chosen ones. That's right. I'm going to come to the healing factors in just a few moments. Let me mention the area of transference of demonic in relationships. I want you to remember as I think of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7, at least verse 1. You know, if you're going to read chapter 6, read all the way through the end of chapter 6 and stop at chapter 7, verse 1. What does the temple of God have to do with the temple of demons? I mean, what does Belial? What does darkness have to do with light? So the concept here is don't have koinonia, don't have fellowship. The idea of connecting in any deep level relationships and being yoked together with unbelievers, especially the unbelievers, are open doors in the New Age and pagans and Wiccans and so forth. You know, if somebody you know, no matter what they look like, if they're into stuff to where they're lost, first of all, as a believer, you need to wait. You need to wait as God commands to find the believer for you. That's a biblical rule. But the issue is, when you do, and many times this occurs, you got to remember, I've been a pastor for so many years. The truth is, many believers fall into the old ways. They didn't learn well enough, or they just didn't want to do it, and they engaged relationships. They married their husband, wife, their spouse, or they're in a relationship, and the person in the relationship, they're into the other side. They're into New Age energies. They're into Wicca. They're into other stuff. And the spirit that's in them and on them and that they're practicing with can be brought over to you to bring you affect you. As a matter of fact, the spirits and the presence in them, the demons, they know who you are as a believer. What are you doing there in that relationship? You need to step back and realize God has something much better. The will of God is good, pleasing, and perfect. You need to go read Romans chapter 12, verse 1, 2, 3. Surrender to the highest good, the highest perfection and pleasure. That's in God's will for you. God cares. I'm just a man. I'm a dad. I care about my child. I care what occurs. God cares much, much more. You got to know that. Families can have somebody, listen, you know, mom and a dad, or, you know, you could be, maybe you got saved, you're a teenager, you got saved in the family, nobody else is. You know, the truth is, other family members through pharmakia, drugs. And I know that there's some that have written me that said, I don't like you using the term pothead. I know what it was to be one. And I don't care, even in the so-called medical side of this, I see potheads all over the place. Please understand that prolonged pothead, pot use, marijuana use is still an open door. Still, there's so many claims that's bogus. It's all about the high. It's all about the, I'm not going to go into that today. I've already done this, but I'm just saying that in a family home situation, there's times when others get into things. I mean, I know families where the child brought in, they got into demonic stuff. They brought, one was built a little altar in their closet. They bring in charged objects. They go to New Age stuff. They go to psychics. They go to stuff. I mean, there could be a transference down. We talk about generational and familiar spirits down the family line, but please understand that in the family today, with so many open doors out there, you know, and you know, the kids are bringing in music and gamings and articles and other things and symbols and so forth, and that can open doors to bringing, you know, the demonic even in the home. In blended marriages, you got to just really spiritually care about, you know, that there's nothing brought over there. And in the world in which the New Agers by the millions and many others are Crowlinians and occultists are doing sex magic, and because that field is inseparably connected to demon worship when it comes to the book of Revelation, when it talks about in the future on a global scale that literally hundreds of millions of people in the worst of times will not repent and come to God because of their addiction to demon worship, sexual perversion in a deep way, and in pharmakia, the drug use that opens the doors. Those are three factors. Those are danger now that needs to be dealt with. And so we talked about this yesterday too, about, you know, renouncing and burning the bridges and get rid of stuff and look in your home and look into your relationship. And I think anyone that's dating somebody else, you want to make sure you're clean. Forgiven, washed, cleansed, that you renounced all the demonic things in your own life and all the pathways of the demons, and so your one that you're going to marry should do the same. There are those that are married right now that think, you know what, we need to step back and let's renounce any generational lines, familiar spirits coming down, any doorways that you opened through the 60s and 70s and even the 80s and drugs and occultism. Renounce all the doors, repent of all the doors, command all the demonic out. Ask the Lord to bring a real deliverance and cleansing for your whole family, breaking anything from going from you to your children. But I wanted to touch on the area of deliverance and healing because, I mean, you can even read about this in the gospel. The gospel tells us, let me just mention this, and you can look at it, Matthew 12:22. Says this, then a demon-possessed man who was blind and unable to speak was brought to him. Now think about this, the man's blind and he can't speak, but he's also demonized. Stop first and think about, I don't know how it occurred. It doesn't occur automatically. It has to occur generationally, family. The guy got into something. The doors have to be opened or opened on him when he was a child. Nevertheless, he's demon-possessed. And he's blind. And he's unable to speak. Here's what it says in Matthew 12:22. When this person was brought to him and possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, that is, he couldn't speak, Jesus healed him. Jesus healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. That the man could both speak and see. In some cases, healing occurs immediately when demons are cast out. Some, and the proof's in the pudding, just pray for people to be healed. But in cases where there's demonic activity, demonic transfer, demonic stuff in the midst of trauma, where there's illnesses in people's life who's had trauma, trauma with all the emotional baggage and all that it comes is not good for your system, can affect you chemically, catabolic, they call it catabolic, it's destructive to you. Let alone the fact that if a demonic presence entered in and is there causing the illness, as in this case, and also in other places in Matthew. When the demon in one case was cast out, the man was healed. And I've seen that over the years. When a demonic presence is cast out, all of a sudden, it's like a big splinter that has been put into somebody's skin. And you know what it's like to pull a big splinter out, the relief, that it's out. Well, the demons go out, they're released, like Mark 5. Well, the man was in his right mind then. Clothed then, speaking correctly then, in full capacity of his own self. When demons go out, they take with them the compulsion to the sexual perversion, trauma, pedophilia, raping and killing and harming and, all the harm can go in the name of Jesus. So I want you to know that when it comes to the issue of deep healing, that sometimes in trauma, again, whether there's a demonic presence there or not, I'm going to tell you, based on 150 Psalms, you can go begin to read them. Read them and read them and read them and see. Here's what I found. I've learned this. I know where I can take the blood and the guts and the pain and the frustrations. You can sit around and verbalize that all day long to 1,000 other people and never get satisfaction. And people not want to listen to you anymore. But the fact is, when you, even as a believer, have all kinds of, take it to the throne of grace. I've learned that as I read the Psalms all the way through, 150 of them, the writer was able to take his pain, his grief, his depression, his hurt, his being cheated, his all of his situations, he brought them up. He explained them. He brought them in sometimes as a complaint, but he made God the refuge. Whenever he made God his refuge, in every case, in the Psalms, he was healed or delivered, things changed, God entered in. He was found relief. That's what Psalm 103 is about. You know why it begins with him saying what he says? Bless the Lord, O my soul. That is all the depth of my personality, all the depth of my emotion, my whole inner being. Bless the Lord, my whole inner being, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And you know why? Because this writer has experienced the benefits of God, the forgiving of iniquities, the healing of diseases, the redeeming of life from destruction, and then being crowned by God, being crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies, the gift of salvation, indestructible immortality, the ultimate healing to come. So I'm going to tell you today that you can go ahead and just say, Lord Jesus, here am I. I've never really done this before, but I've got luggage, painful, emotionally bloody, from sexual rape, abuse, ritual. I have this inside of me. I'm now bringing it before you. In the name of Jesus, the Savior, the Healer, the Deliverer, the Restorer, I'm bringing it for you. I'm bringing it up. Speak it to him. Explain it to him. Tell him. Let it all out. What you were not allowed to lead out of your mouth, not allowed to speak when you were young, you're allowed to. Before God, you can tell him how much it hurt, how much pain, what it caused you, what it did to you. You can cry it out. You can feel the emotions. You can let it all out. You can pour it out before the God that listens, the God that hears, the God that has compassion. He's near the brokenhearted to bind up. That is the idea of healing up the wounds. Seek healing. Ask the Lord that if in the depths of all of your pain that you've been hiding, if there's anything demonic, say, Jesus, deliver me. Here's what I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray the Spirit of the Lord, your compassion, Jesus, listen, if you're going to do this, read Mark's Gospel chapter 1, where Jesus shows his saving power, healing power, and delivering power all in one chapter. Here's what it says about Jesus, God in human flesh, when he saw the diseased individual. Filled with compassion, he healed the man. I'm going before God with the blood and guts of the pain and everything else in my life, and I know that he's got compassion. He can speak truth into me. He can tell me what I need to do. Instead of responding to the pain and the abuse and the things in life, and just jumping into sin, jumping into revenge, jumping into this, you know, all kinds of stuff, then making it worse. No. He wants you to stop all the stuff that doesn't work, that only buries you in the pain. It's time to get right with God in salvation in Christ and bring up the blood and the guts. Listen to him as you're reading the Psalms. Listen to him. Pour everything out before him. Ask him to deliver you from any demonic presence attached to you in any way. Go ahead, bring it all up. Bring it all up. It's going to hurt sometimes. You're going to have ab reaction. You're going to feel, smell the past. You're going to think about it. You're going to have hatred maybe sometimes concerning the perpetrators. You know what you can do with them? You know what you can do with them? Release them to the justice of God. God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." You can forgive them and release them into the hands of God. He'll deal with them better than you can. You can't deal with it. Release them in bitterness. Release them in forgiveness. Release them and hand them over to Jesus. He'll deal with them. And then what you can do is just simply come and say, God, here, let all of it come up. All of it come up. Pour it out. Listen to him. Listen to the Spirit of God. Listen to the Word of God. And I pray that as you're pouring that out to him, as you're lifting it out to him, he's near, he's right there, he's ever present near that brokenheartedness. You're now speaking to him. You're now willing for him to come into it. You're now willing for him to come and redeem the past and heal you. And deliver you and to restore you out of the darkness into the light, out of the destruction into restoration, cleansing, a washing of shame. Father, I pray as there will be many that listen to this, extraordinary healing, extraordinary deliverance, and astounding restoration. Come to those listening as they turn to Jesus. If you don't know him, come to him. Let the healing begin. Let the deliverance occur and be saved. This is Russ Dizdar. We're at the end of the hour, the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast, Indestructible Hope in Christ. Remember us in your prayers. Good night.